The Jews came very late to believing that God would raise the dead. And it had, of course, to be the resurrection of the body, because the Jews only understood what it was to be a human being as a breathing body. It's not this business of souls. And if you weren't a breathing body, then you were not a person. So it had to be the resurrection of the person, which means a bodily resurrection. And the basis for that faith is simply a further extension of the Jews' absolutely fundamental belief of who God was. It's embodied in that Hebrew word chesed, which appears over and over and over all through the Hebrew Bible. God is steadfastly loving. God is steadfastly loving, and this was the innovation that the belief in the resurrection brought with it, even beyond death. And this notion of God's fidelity is expressed, we believe, in God's relationship to this man who was himself, above all, faithful to God. The difference between everybody else and Jesus was precisely the intensity, the depth, the totality of his fidelity to God. And that's what the whole last week, especially these 3 days at the end of Holy Week, have been about. Jesus as faithful to God. We see it first of all manifested in that stunning scene that John creates of the Last Supper. Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Which means what? Jesus standing absolutely faithful to everybody and do it in an absolutely non-defensive, non-aggressive way. You can't be afraid of somebody who's going to wash your feet. You just can't. It's not built into the gesture. And of course the belief that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians that Jesus expressed that self-donation not only in that gesture, but in the gift of himself, somehow present in bread and wine, a normal human means of communion, a less human being gathering as a community. That non-defensive stance in the world, that utterly non-aggressive, non-violent stance in the world, is what precisely characterized the career of Jesus. His silence, if you go back to the Passion narratives, he was silent. What was the point of trying to answer Pilate? Would Pilate have understood even what he said? They have this little colloquy about kingship, and Jesus makes it very clear. My kingdom is not built like your kingdom, which is built on the power of the sword. My kingdom is built because I, as one human being, stand as the brother to all other human beings. And I put that to you as the absolutely archetypal, the only really human stance in the world. And of course, the connection between that and Good Friday is inevitable. Necessarily. Nobody who stands in the world in that fashion does it without danger to themselves. Because the world cannot operate. The world as we know it, the world in which we live, and the world in which I operate is antithetical to that non-aggressive, non-defensive stance in the world. That vision of the world where everybody, above all the least, the most invisible, I truly feel as my sisters and brothers. That's why the Haitian earthquake is a marvelous opportunity. It's very possible to say, oh, look at all those poor dead bodies. Oh, look at all those people living in those tents. Isn't that sad? Isn't that pitiable? No. If we saw with the eyes of Jesus, we'd say, those are my sisters and brothers. That's my family in that condition. And therefore, I cannot ignore them. I must not. But as I said, that stance comes at a cost. And so, God, as the hymn to the Philippians put it, so rejoiced in this new Adam who did not lie to himself, did not lie to anybody else, stood in this radically non-violent, non-oppressive, non-defensive stance in the world. That's why God raised him. Because Jesus washing the feet of the disciples was doing what? Demonstrating his fidelity to these other human beings. To the God he knew as the God of all. And so, fidelity to himself. To his own self-understanding of what it was to be a human being in this world. And the marvel of Jesus is that tripartite fidelity to the world, to God, and to myself are one. One single, inextricable unity. You can't separate one from the other. That's exactly what Jesus did not do. And for that reason, therefore, God has raised this man and given him a name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus all knees shall bend, etc., etc., etc. This is God's attitude to the world. This is God's response to the world. That God is faithful. That God is faithful. And we are called to that kind of fidelity too, manifested in the life of Jesus. So Easter, just like Christmas, you know, hallelujah, hallelujah, Paschal candles, flowers, you know, beautiful day. Oh, hooray, 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 we won, we won, we won. Oh, no, oh, no, no, no. No. Only to the extent that we see ourselves as Jesus saw himself in the world. Only to the extent that we are inextricably bound with everybody else on this planet. The 35,000 babies under the age of 5, they're going to die today. The 250,000 dead in Haiti. And the 1.5 million or so that are still homeless. The people blown up regularly all over the place. Afghanistan, India, Russia. Only when by this enormous and creative leap of imagination where we are aware of ourselves as absolutely, essentially intertwined with the lives of all those other people. That's life from the dead. Because death is precisely a denial of that interconnection. But to the extent that we assert that interconnection, not only assert it, but live it. That's resurrection from the dead. And that's why that wonderful line from Auden is so good. The soul must practice her scale of rejoicing, because that's not where I am. That's not my self-awareness. But that's exactly what Easter is about. That's the illumination of the Easter day, of Easter morning, that Jesus brought to us.